On Thursday, October 9th, 2025, the Bozeman Area League of Women Voters and the Bozeman Public Library presented a mayoral candidate forum, and following that, they hosted a discussion about the Water Adequacy for Residential Development or WARD initiative. As a reminder, the opinions expressed herein are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the board or the volunteer staff of KGVM.
All right, I'm going to shorten my introduction part because I took time the next time. So the first time and not repeat everything I said at the beginning. But I will say each candidate will have 2 minutes to introduce themselves. But because we have two people representing each side, only one person gets to do the opening, one person gets to do the closing. We won't have four people doing an opening. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to answer the question. Did we provide a question in advance?
No.
Good, because I don't know what it is. There's none from us. We will take questions from the audience immediately. And then each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to the question. They're going to have to decide who's going to respond, because we will only have 1 2-minute response from each side. And then in closing statement, one of the two will make that. Am I confusing anyone? Okay. Especially you guys. Again, I'm going to emphasize the courtesy. This is a somewhat contentious issue. And you know, these guys came up here to respond to that. And so we owe them time and courtesy. And I'm just going to repeat that again. So without further distractions, we are going to start with Mikusuki. Are you doing it? Oh, no, Lori's. We're going to start with Lori to do her opening. And they are, well, you can say that, to introduce yourself. And that you are the pro side.
Okay.
And you guys are the originators, correct?
Correct. We're
yeah.
in the WARD
so
working group. I'm Lori J., and I'm in the WARD working group.
Oh, sure.
Lori J., WARD working group. Do you want me to begin? Okay. The Bozeman Water Adequacy Initiative is a citizen-led effort to help conserve Bozeman's finite water supply while providing much-needed affordable housing for the community. The initiative was written by an all-local, grassroots, multi-generational group of renters and homeowners. WARD was born out of the knowledge that Bozeman has finite water and therefore finite development footprint. We have growth in incomes that is far less than the growth in the cost of housing, and we have state regulations that prohibit Bozeman from charging fees to obtain affordable housing. WARD triangulates on these problems to create a mandate that gives the community more power in directing its finite water resources to housing the community needs. Because Bozeman sits in a closed basement for water rights, it is most efficient for the municipality to acquire rights and then allocate them as development occurs. This creates an, quote, inventory, if you will, of water availability. The city's cash in lieu of water rights program serves its purpose, and 99% of new development accesses water this way. WARD leverages the power of the city's cash in lieu program to require new development of 3 or more units to build 33% affordable housing. Dr. Kirk McClure, in a September 29th presentation here at the Bozeman Library, discussed his research, which includes Bozeman from 2000 to 2024. He concluded that there is no shortage of housing overall in Bozeman, but a mismatch between where the housing surplus is and where folks can afford to pay for housing. And that gap is too large to bridge with rent incentives. Bozeman, in effect, produces a superabundance of luxury housing with 20% vacancy rates and insufficient affordable housing. Okay, I'll stop.
Riley Rivers will do the opening statement.
Very briefly before I begin, I want to clarify I'm here representing Swimbia. With me tonight on the opponent side of this is Emily Tufago, if you don't already know who she is. volunteered to come here again. And as a group, we decided that it would be best if there were two proponents and two opponents. I just want to clarify, I'm here with Swimbia, and Emily Talago is here for Emily Talago. So with that, I'll begin. So good evening, and thank you all for being here tonight. My name is Riley Rivers. I'm a born and raised Montanan, and I'm a proud member of Swimbia. It's clear that everyone in this room is concerned about Bozeman and our affordability issues, and I certainly share that sentiment. We need to do better, and Bozeman deserves better than the status quo. I'd also sincerely like to thank all of the members of the Ward Working Group. It's very clear that you all care about Bozeman, and we can definitely agree on that. And we can agree that Bozeman's got affordability issues and that we need to tackle those, but we don't agree that Ward is the right solution. We believe it risks making things much worse. We have already tried restrictive policies like this in the past, and those have only created 17 homes over a decade. Once we move to a collaborative-based approach in 2021, Bozeman has seen more than 1,700 affordable units built or permitted and in the pipeline. We have much more work to do, but we can't deny that progress is being made. Ward would move us backwards, and it would add new risk. The Ward Group has not provided a feasibility study, no pro forma, and no numbers. I have asked for that. But I was told that builders could make 10%, but no one has been able to show that math. However, the economic planning systems did model this exact policy and found that it would raise the cost of market rate homes by $200,000 to $300,000 per unit. That is not speculation, that is data. This cost does not land on luxury buyers. It falls on working class families who don't win the lottery to get one of these subsidized units. Families are already struggling to afford Bozeman. I want to be very clear that Ward does not just hit large projects. It will make it virtually impossible to build single-family homes. Affordability mandates like this would apply at final plat, and builders who are working one or two lots at a time, they're going to be on the hook to do this. Only large corporations can absorb that kind of risk, and that is not how Bozeman was built, and thank God it wasn't. Throughout this initiative, the builders were not invited to collaborate on this, and we're the ones who build affordable housing. Bozeman deserves housing policy that's proven, feasible, and grounded in collaboration.
Thank you. So we will go right to questions from the audience. So does anyone have a question? Go ahead, because I skipped you last time.
The question is posed to Ward. To be clear, I am Jerry Pate. There's been some question of whether or not I identify. Independent third-party reports clearly state that the passage of Ward will harm the Bozeman economy and will not create additional...
What's your question?
I am getting there.
Please.
The Ward Working Group has openly denied the credibility of these reports. What happens if third-party reports are correct and the Ward Working Group and your initiative is wrong?
So it'll be Lori?
Sure.
Okay.
How much time do I have? A minute or something? Okay, 2 minutes. Wrong in what way?
Really?
I will clarify. May I? The clarification and repeating from the beginning. The third-party reports clearly state that the passage of the Ward Initiative will harm the Bozeman economy and will not create additional housing. If that is true, what happens then?
So we've looked at a lot of those third-party reports, and a lot of them have some flawed data. So EPS was one report that the city put forth, and their conclusion was that all market rate housing, multi-unit housing, is losing money. If that were the case, we have probably, 4,000, you may know, 4,000 units in the pipeline. We would see them pulled from the pipeline because no investor or group of investors would want to put good money after bad. So I think you have to really look at the reports that have been produced, and oftentimes what I've seen is that the city seems to want to have a result that they're trying to get to, and so those reports tend to track that desire. So then getting to your question, if Ward causes a, what, housing moratorium, is that?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Can you clarify that, moderator?
Yes.
There are two questions, and there's more than one report. The housing report from the Housing Coalition involves Belgrade and a bunch of other people that have nothing to do with EPS, and they argue that this is highly damaging. So the question becomes, if it is enacted and damage occurs because the initiative was not correct and didn't do the right due diligence,
right,
what then?
Those reports are also on suppositions that we will not continue to grow, and so there will be no, you know, desire to continue to grow in Bozeman. If they're true, I mean, I just can't, you know, we've had experts look at this market in particular, and they do not believe that the Ward initiative will cause that kind of damage, because we've got a surplus of housing on the luxury side, and we have a shortage on the non-luxury side. So it is possible for the luxury side of our housing market to continue to grow while creating affordable housing without causing that kind of a situation.
So even though the question was not directed at Swimbia, they do have an opportunity, Riley or Emily, to respond.
All right, I'll take that one. Emily Tuego, candidate for Bozeman City Commission. I think I got nominated because I was the first person to enter into the public comment into the record with deep concerns about this. So I just want to comment on the EPS report. So I served on the Midtown Urban Renewal Board for a long time. We actually, that is one of the places that they use tax increment financing that Doug last round. There's no way that you can go over all the nuance of TIF in 60 seconds, and I'm not going to try and do that now. But one of the things that we have to do is determine to make sure that we are not giving developers an undue amount in order to make a project happen. So we have to contract with a third-party economic firm. This firm has credentials. I think it's a cheap shot to say that, like, that they mutch some numbers or something like that. They have done work not just for the city of Bozeman, but municipalities throughout the country, and they're highly recommended. So insofar as looking at the pro formas, one of the things I did say to the group is, hey, because I know a lot of the people. They're my neighbors and my friends. I think that they're reasonable people. You show me a pro forma where it works, and I'll support this. To this date, and the time has unfortunately run out, I have not yet received that. And so if you actually have that information, that you say you have people who have looked at this, it's not in the policy brief. What is in the policy brief very clearly is a 2-to-1 ratio of potential consequences to potential benefits. So I want to be very cautious. I think it's very reckless for us to proceed with something without seeing any pro forma or numbers that this can actually work.
Thank you. Is there an additional question? In the back, standing up.
I guess my question would be, for the past 10 years, I've heard people talk about housing affordability. Nothing has really changed. You say there's 1,700 houses available in the pipeline. What does that mean? And if nothing's changed, why should we expect it's going to change in the future?
Thank you. Riley?
Yeah, certainly. So I want to clarify, this is data from the city, but there are currently, since 2021, there have been 17 affordable homes built or in the pipeline at the affordability mandates that Ward calls for. I've actually been really proud. I've been a part of over 600 units with those, I've been really proud to be a part of building those affordable homes. We're not done. We have not won the affordability crisis. We need time to see the real effects of this. And ultimately, we got to take a look at the vacancy rate that's currently in town. I think we need to celebrate that. It will take some time for all this multifamily that flooded the market recently. Leases don't expire overnight. And so we saw such a huge increase of units hit the pipeline recently here, but we're seeing rents go down. I'm a renter. I don't own a house. My rent went down. I was able to negotiate my rent down by $500 the last time they asked me to renew my lease. And so I would encourage anybody who rents, like myself, to go and negotiate your lease down right now, because there is, because of all these units that are built or in the pipeline currently, this is what the market does. The building community has stepped up to solve these issues, and we're doing it big time right now. We can't let a policy like Ward get enacted that is going to erase this progress. I'm going to be very clear. We have not won anything yet. We have to keep fighting, we have to keep building, we have to keep pushing to make sure that we can make Bozeman an affordable place to live. The last thing I'd say with this is there's a lot of talk about supply and demand, and I'm just going to say that Bozeman is not immune to the laws of supply and demand. We're seeing the effects of supply and demand in place right now, and we're seeing the positive sides of that. We've got to keep building. We've got to keep growing responsibly, and we have to be able to make it so that people can afford to live here in Bozeman. So that's where I got.
Thank you. Natsuki?
I think that's a great question. I think the status quo has led us to this point where it would be pretty ridiculous to assume that if we just keep doing the same thing, we're going to catch up on the affordable housing needs. As was mentioned before, we have water as a finite resource, and we can't just keep building unaffordable housing, assuming that eventually that'll trickle down to a level that people can afford. So we need to start building housing differently. So some things have changed, unfortunately. When the city tried inclusionary zoning back 2017, we were trying to define affordable housing at $230,000 as an affordable unit. This initiative defines an affordable for sale at $500,000. If builders can't do that, then who are we building housing for? We're asking for one-third of the for sale to be affordable at that rate. Affordable rentals be affordable for someone who can pay like a two-bedroom for $1,600. That's the kind of market that we need to start forcing some of our housing to be. Mentioned the 20% vacancy rate. That's an unhealthy vacancy rate. That means that we're building housing that people can't afford. So sure, maybe you get a month off, but it's not fixing the market here. Maybe you have to sign an 18-month lease and you get one month free. So those rent reductions aren't changing the market, and we can't wait for that to trickle down. The last thing I'll mention is that those 1,800 units that were mentioned, those are all using low-income housing tax credits, and those are going to be affordable at that 60% AMI level. They would not be impacted by Ward. So if we are doing enough for affordable housing, then let's do that plus more with the other non-affordable units. One more comment about the affordable housing incentives. The city has tried to rely on incentives such as giving away parking and height increases to try to get affordable housing. They said the best we can hope for that is 5% if we give them away as much parking as they want or more height. Unfortunately, the state legislature said any new apartment complex doesn't have to provide parking anymore if each of those units are 1,200. So if we're going to get apartment complex that provide no parking, let's at least have some of those units be affordable. Thanks.
Any more questions? Go ahead. In the red shirt, whatever color that is.
Thank you guys for being here tonight. I appreciate all four of you. My question is for either Riley or Emily. So it seems to me that we spent a lot of time talking about whether or not we're running out of water. I think it's immaterial. I mean, I think we have a bunch of community resources, you know, open space, reasonable traffic, reasonable rates of change in established neighborhoods and edge transition zones, you know, reasonable access to, you know, the amenities around Bozeman, and water, you know, was one of them. Water is the easiest to quantify, which is probably what we're talking about.
And your question is?
I'm getting there, sorry. So my question for you all is, it seems to me that it's reasonable for the community to decide whether if we're going to invest these community resources, don't we want to be sure that we're getting stuff that the community needs? And that's what I was hoping you two could address, because it seems as though the Ward opponents don't address that yet. Thank you.
Oh, it's a fantastic question. We need to build responsibly, and we need to manage both the need for affordable housing, and we need to manage the need for water. I want to be clear that Ward is not a slam dunk. Ward doesn't guarantee that if this got passed, that on November 5th, we're going to see more affordable housing. I've asked the question, I don't understand how Ward saves water unless it stops or slows down housing. And that's a question I'd love to have answered tonight. I don't understand how we can say on one hand that we need to have more housing, we need to have affordable housing, but we also, we can't, you know, it takes water to have housing. We've got to take showers. We've got to be able to cook and eat. And so, you know, ultimately we need to take a look at the whole picture, which water is absolutely included, but let's think about what builders can already do right now to save water and build housing, which is what this initiative wants to do, but I'm going to say it falls short. We already use some of the highest efficient fixtures in our buildings to make sure that we save water. There's a new landscaping regulation guideline that I was a part of with the city that is saving so much water. I mean, landscapers, we use a lot of water. And now with some of the new work that the city's done and the conservation department, the great people, the new guidelines save a lot of water. So there's a way to build responsibly, and there's a way to conserve water while we build. But if we think that we're going to achieve housing affordability by restricting what is able to be built, and when the housing community is up here telling you that this just does not pencil out, I don't understand how we can say that this is going to create housing. How can we say that we're going to slow down housing when we're seeing progress being made and think that that's going to be a good thing? I don't understand how this initiative saves water without fundamentally destroying the progress that is being made. So we can look at how housing and water tie together in a separate issue. I'm open to talk about that some more, but ultimately, I don't understand how this issue is truly going to save water.
Thank you. Matsuhi?
Thank you for the question. Yeah, I agree that this is just one tool in the wider conversation. There's other things we need to do for water conservation. There's other things we need to do to protect our natural resources, wetlands, trees, and there's other things we need to do to make housing look like what we want. So it's just one tool that we're trying to add to the toolbox, using our finite water and addressing the need for affordable housing. So in terms of how does it save water, right now, as was mentioned before, there's been talks about building a pipeline from Canyon Ferry, a multi-billion-dollar project that would sustain more growth here. Why did we talk about that? Because we have a finite resource here, and we were seeing a lot of growth. And so maybe we don't need that now, but maybe the city will bring that up again in another decade. So we need to talk about a long-term conversation about what we're saving that water for. Are we just saving it for more housing, and that housing is unaffordable and sitting vacant or not accessible to our workforce? We need to build housing that people can live in. If we only build unaffordable housing, then we'll keep saving water for more housing and then be in the same situation where we have to save more water to build more housing. So the part of this conversation is saving water not just for housing, but how do we save water in the wider collection conversation about for ecological resilience, for watershed, for our aquifer? How do we save water in a long-term way, especially as climate becomes more unpredictable? So we can't only save water to build more housing, especially if that housing's unaffordable. One person said a comment about one way that we can make housing more unaffordable is by making the Gallatin Valley a hellhole. Is that what we're trying to do? So we need to have a conversation about how do we protect those resources that are precious to us, including our green spaces, our waters, our rivers, our aquifers.
All right, go ahead.
This one will be way more simple, I swear. Will this reward generally cause less housing to be built overall, in totality? That's it. That's my question. Simple.
And we're going to start with you guys. We're going to start with Lori then.
Sorry.
Oh, we're not. Matsuhi.
Sure. I think that's speculation. We don't know. It's hard to predict the market. I think we've seen now a lot of projects. Again, going back to that EPS study that was referenced by the city, that showed that multifamily projects now are unfeasible. Why? Because we've overbuilt this product that people can't afford. So someone last night at another conversation about WARD said, nobody's pulling a permit for multifamily in this economy. Why? Because we've overbuilt this, we've oversaturated this product. So the market's unpredictable. People, investors are adjusting. We're already seeing a slow in growth. Is that because we've built the wrong product? Is it because that housing that we built is unaffordable? So there's a lot of unpredictable stuff in the market. Things have slowed down for other reasons unrelated to WARD, whether it passes or not. So but will WARD slow down growth? We don't know. But is affordable housing still possible? Yes, absolutely. Again, going back to those 1,800 units that were talked about under construction or in the pipeline, most of those are using credits that are 50 to 100% affordable rentals. So those would be possible. People have talked about, I mentioned last night, there was also a project that proposed having starter homes that could be under $500,000 for sale. If that's possible, then that's well above the affordability threshold as well. So I've heard builders say that we can build $500,000 townhomes and you're making it impossible. That's all we're asking for a third of the units to be for sale. So if they say it's possible, then I believe them it's possible.
Thank you.
So to clarify, your question was, will WARD slow down housing? Yes, it absolutely will. They say so in their own policy brief. They say that, sorry, it's really small writing. inclusionary zoning models such as Ward. I'm going to start over. Sorry, I'm a landscaper. I plant trees. This is all new to me, but I do know about affordable housing. This is not, this. There's no, I've asked for a pro forma from the Ward folks. They're fine people, but I have not been able to see that. We've seen what's going to happen. We know that if you're going to build a 30-home subdivision underneath Ward, based on some pretty generous, land costs that I think were way too low, based on if you look on Zillow for land costs right now, based on that, we knew that under a 30-home subdivision, developers would lose over $800,000 in that model. I don't know anyone who would want to be able to go to work and say, I'm going to lose $800,000. Yes. Would you want to go to work tomorrow and be required to still go to work and say, just do it for free? It's just not going to work. And so we need to take a look at how we can increase housing affordability and housing overall for the community. Supply and demand, it applies to Bozeman wholly. We are on the up and up, seeing what is happening when we increase that supply. And we need to, as renters in this market, we need to go out there and negotiate our rents down. It's totally capable. This oversupply of housing, if that's what you want to call it, the multifamily that hit the market, yeah, we're probably not going to see a whole lot of multifamily built for a while. But now we can switch back to building single-family homes if Ward doesn't pass. We can get to the American dream of being able to buy a home if we increase the supply of single-family homes. But we need a mix of housing overall in order to achieve the goals and be able to allow everyone who wants to live in Bozeman, whether that's an apartment or a single-family house.
I think he didn't finish responding to the policy brief, but I think he was saying that we said that some overall total units might slow down compared to, I forget the exact wording, but I mean, with a 20% vacancy rate, again, if we have an overall slight decrease, who knows, again, that's speculation, but more of them are affordable, a higher ratio is affordable, and I think that's a net positive. So if it's more affordable, especially to the people who need it, then, and those fewer of those units are sitting vacant, unaffordable people, then I think that would be okay, but we don't know that's going to happen.
Do we get the same amount of time?
No, because you mentioned them, they get 1 minute to respond to that. Did I see a hand back there? Go ahead with your question, please.
Brad, I'm just curious, as far as these 1,800 homes that are homes or apartments or what's coming down the pipe?
Apartments.
You mentioned these new affordable houses that are coming on the market. They're not here yet, but they...
Is the question directed to me?
Yes. Yeah,
so just to be clear so everybody can hear it, so the question is, are the 1,800 housing units, are they apartments or are they homes?
Yeah.
I think overall they're a mix. I know that my company was, we were very proud to work on an apartment that was 100% affordable at 60% of AMI this summer, and that's been great.
How much is that?
How much is what?
You're talking 60% of the AMI. To me, the AMI is totally out of whack here.
Yeah.
I mean, the Housing Authority, the Urban Housing Authority stipulates that. So it's just like, if you're building these places, it's still 60% of the AMI. We've seen that housing. How many people can afford that?
Certainly. So, I mean, I ran some numbers on what 60% AMI means for a two-person household. You do not qualify for 60% of AMI if you make $14 an hour. You no longer qualify under a two-person household. If 120% of AMI for the four sales units, that's $28 per hour. $28 per hour, you no longer qualify to buy one of these affordable houses if they were built. At $14 per hour, you don't qualify to rent one of these affordable units if they were built. And these are the 60% and the 120% AMI that Ward is using, and I'm going to be very clear that was extremely easy math based on what the AMI rates are for a two-person household, like a couple that's got together, divided by 2,080 working hours in a year. $14 per hour, you don't qualify anymore for this. $28 an hour, you don't qualify anymore for this. If you're making $14 an hour in the city of Bozeman, give me a call. The minimum wage of Rivers Landscaping is $27 an hour. So if you're making $14 an hour, I'd love to have a conversation with your boss about paying a reasonable wage. But under this initiative, the only people who would qualify to live in these, if you get past some of the legal issues that may be there, would be people who make less than $14 per hour. And if you make $28 per hour, There are members of this group who are quoted in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle yesterday as saying, if you can afford one of the market rate units, it is okay that you get to pay for that. There are members of this group that say, if you make $14 per hour, it is okay that you get to pay the extra burden that is put on this. If you make $28 per hour, it is okay that your single-family home will get stuck with $300,000, $200,000 to $300,000 in extra. So when I hear someone say, who does this get passed to? It gets passed to anybody who makes $28 an hour or more. $28 an hour or more, and you don't get to buy one of these homes.
You guys want to respond?
I guess to respond to the original question, the $1,800 unit number is referring to all rentals. Currently, the city of Bozeman has incentives for rental units. They don't really have a way to address for sale since inclusionary zoning got banned. So those are all rentals that are either under construction or in the pipeline. And most of those units are using the low-income housing tax credits, which is at 60% AMI affordability. So those would still... 60% AMI is one person making around $50,000. I guess for two people, I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly how much two people are, but it's yeah. So one person, but
that's total.
Okay, but to go back to I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, the initiative starts at 60% of AMI and
income averaged. Yep. Okay. Well, I guess I'll just. Leave it at that. I don't remember what the original question was. Sorry.
I'm sorry. We ran out of time for questions, but thank you. Do you guys want to do, I don't know, not official, but a quick closing statement?
All right. All four? Just down the chute?
No. Got to do one. All right. What are you?
If you vote no for Ward, it does not mean that you accept the status quo. It does not mean that you're a developer. It does not mean that you are happy with the way that this city has been going. If you vote no for Ward, it means that you gathered a set of information, you researched your own facts, and you decided that that was what is best for Bozeman. I strongly encourage people who are concerned about this community, people who want to buy homes in this community, people who work in the construction industry, people who are supported by the construction industry, I strongly encourage everyone to vote no. And I absolutely open this up to anyone in this room and absolutely to the Ward Working Group who cares about affordable housing. I'll be the president of Swimbia next year. Let's get together. Let's actually work on housing solution. I mean that wholeheartedly. I'd love to do that. Whether Ward passes or not, we've got a problem that we need to handle. And we're the people who can swing the hammers. We should have been consulted on this. We can come up with better policy together. And the last thing I want to say, there's been a lot of talk about who Swimbia is. I am extremely proud to be a Swimbia member. I've been a Swimbia member for over 5 years. We're the people who put our boots on every day. We go to work. We swing the hammers. We plant the trees. We paint the houses. We put up drywall. We're the people who have built this community since 1978. We are quite literally the people who are in line at Town Pump in the morning to get a hot case burrito and a Red Bull on our way to the job site. That is who Swimbia is. We are building this community. And when we see a policy that is going to negatively affect not only the building industry, but Bozeman overall, and affordable housing that we build every single day. I was on an affordable housing project today. When we have a policy that very well could stop and erase progress that is being made, we need to really take a hard look at what is going to happen from that. The building industry wasn't consulted on this. The people who swing the hammers every day. We need to collaborate. We need to work better on how we can have better policy. And that's going to start with the city. The city's to blame for a lot of stuff that's going on in the building industry and what makes it hard to get housing. But that's who we really want to be focused on working with and understand that as a whole community, the city, people who care about water, that we can all work together and we can come up with a really good solution because we're not there yet and we need to get there.
So my name is Natsuki Nakamura. I'm a member of the Ward Working Group and helped write this initiative. The Bozeman Water Adequacy Initiative is about giving Bozeman residents a lasting voice in how our finite water is allocated in new development. Ward is an opportunity to get a better balance between affordable market rate and luxury housing and ensure that the water is allocated to the housing the community needs. Passing Ward would sprinkle affordable housing into mixed income developments across Bozeman rather than having segregated areas for affordable housing or having two tiers of housing, one for affordable, one luxury. I'm thinking about water conservation conservation if we are only conserving water to build more housing, but the housing being built is not meeting community needs? We will consume more water supply before building an adequate supply of affordable housing. If we are only conserving water to support more growth, we are not able to conserve water for ecological reasons of maintaining our watershed and aquifer health or for the resiliency during uncertain climate conditions. We have tried relying on incentives. We tried the status quo. And the affordability hasn't trickled down yet. The Bozeman Water Adequacy Initiative is a citizens-led initiative to help address these issues of water conservation and affordable housing. 5,800 residents signed to give Bozeman voters a chance to vote on it. I encourage folks to vote yes this fall. Thank you.
Thank you for the our presenters tonight. And I also like to thank tonight's sponsors, who are the Bozeman Area League of Women Voters and the Bozeman Public Library. If you have not registered to vote, the big ballots will come out mid-October. Well, I think they're going to mail them the 17th. So ballots are soon to be out. Please register to vote. If you need an address change, note that if you have moved, you do need to fill out a form to get an address change. This is a mail-in ballot only. So thank you and good night.
That was the pro and con discussion about the WARD initiative that was held at the Bozeman Public Library on Thursday, October 9th, 2025, co-sponsored by the Bozeman Area League of Women Voters and the Bozeman Public Library.